I'm going through. Lord, I brought nothing here when I came. So if I lose it all, I still praise your name. I have peace of mind. I know you'll teach me to climb if that mountain don't move. Oh, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. Hoping for sunshine, preparing for rain. Whatever I face, I'll trust in your grace to carry me through.
Carry me through.
My feet are so weary, at times I can't stand. But you hold me up.
You hold me
when
up.
I've done all I can.
Done all I
like
can.
So many times, I know you'll teach me to climb. If that mountain don't move, I've spent long nights when sleep never came, and it seemed like my loss far outnumbered my gain. But I held on to hope as it led the way. I made it through. The tempter determined that I would give in, but grace made a way for me to pass through again. I have peace of mind. You're gonna teach me to climb. Lord, if that mountain don't move, oh Lord, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I'm hoping for sunshine, but I'm prepared for the rain. Whatever I face, I'm gonna trust in your grace. I know you're gonna carry me through.
Carry me through.
My feet are so weary, at times I can't stand, but you hold me up when I've done all I can. Like so many times, I know you're gonna teach me to climb. If that mountain don't move, if that mountain don't move,
who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer testify that this life within me cries. I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that holds me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Testify that this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, he lives to take away my shame, and he lives forever. The payment for my sin was the precious life he gave. And now he's alive, and now there's an empty grave. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify that this life within me cries. I know my Redeemer, know my Redeemer lives.
I'm amazed who's sitting in the woodworks and you didn't know. That's the first time Marcella's ever sung here. I mean, she probably sang Dave then or something. That's good, Dave. I didn't know you could get somebody like that and put a voice in them that way and all that. That blessed me. Blessed me. That's good. And we had a person sing last week, first time they ever sang here. Don't y'all get any ideas now? I'm looking at some of you, and I think, no, we're not going to go through that. Doris, don't be raising your hand. We don't know about that, even though you've never sung a solo. But we understand. Mark chapter 4. I don't know whether I can... I don't know whether I can get through this. I rarely ever get through one anyway, so nobody's not going to be disappointed they don't get. But this kind of bared real heavy, kind of like on my heart throughout the week. And I thought, well, I'll get up and put it on them and let them do with it what they want to. You got to get the picture, and then maybe it'll help you some. When Jesus started his ministry, he went down to the riverside and old fella out there dressed up in camel hair and honey running down through his beard and locusts hanging outside of his mouth. He said, John, I want you to baptize me. John said, me baptize you? He said, yeah, I want you to baptize me. And from there, he went through a testing period. We call it the temptation. Passed the test. And here's something interesting when you're reading about Jesus' life. After he did those two things, got baptized, which means I'm identifying with what you're preaching, John. Now, when you get baptized, you're saying, I'm identifying with what Jesus did. He was buried, he died, was buried, rose again. I'm identifying with what he did. That's what you did. Jesus said, I'm identifying. Now, I know there's some churches say, well, we baptize you, get rid of your sins. Well, that's kind of weak because I don't think Jesus really needed it for that. So, I kind of have to believe there's something else involved there. But here's the point I want you to get. Jesus left the temptation and he went to the synagogue. Synagogue, we call it church house. And if you read the Gospels, he went to the synagogue a time or two, but every time he went to church, people got mad. They didn't like his preaching. He wore a teacher's coat, so if you went in the synagogue with that, they probably would ask you either to read Scripture or to make a comment on Scripture or something. Jesus walked out of the synagogue because they got so mad of what he was saying. And eventually, he turns his back on the synagogue, because they will not listen. Now that's my point. So I want you to keep that. Then the Bible talks about Jesus going into the home. And if you read the Bible on, he got to the place where he couldn't go into a home. He turned his back on the home and goes outside. Now what the Bible's doing is giving you a picture of the Christian life. You say, Jesse, I go to church every Sunday morning. Well, to tell you the honest God truth, you ain't worth much to God sitting here sleeping and you know, working on the phone. Or, I mean, see, that's you know, that goes along with it. You need to go where people worship. But the Christian life is made to work outside this place. You come here, this is kind of a pep rally. Go get them! Go get them! Go get them! You say, I'm going to go after them this week. Preacher told me, go get them! Go get them! That's kind of what church is about. But here's my sermon today, and you'll read it here in a minute. Jesus said, if you don't listen to what I say, I will turn my back and walk away. And when I do, your house will be left desolate. That means you're on your own. Now, I've watched Christians go in the hospital on their own. What I mean by that is they don't trust God for hardly anything at all. What little trust they got's in some doctor or nurse, or that somehow they'll come out and they'll get by. That's where they've got to in their Christian life. What that means is your house has been left desolate. Seem like you can't hear from God. You say, Jesse, I'm saved. Paul said, I worry about being put up on the shelf, becoming a castaway. And if he was, he's a pretty good fellow, I think. He said, I worry about being put up on the shelf and God not using me anymore. God not talking to me. It doesn't have nothing to do with you being saved and being lost. And when you don't hear from God, it's a bad time. The Jewish people from the Old Testament to the New Testament went 400 years and did not hear from God. And by the time Jesus came and John the Baptist came on the scene, politics, religion, everything was in such a mess, you could not believe it, what Jesus came into and found the politics and the religion and everything, what could happen. Now, when God turns his back on something, it will really get bad. So today I want me and you to look at Jesus for just a minute, because in chapter 4 it says he began to teach by the seaside. You getting the point? He left the place of religion, left the home, and he says, I'm going outside. You people won't listen. I'm going outside. And so he goes to the seaside, and he says, Peter, give me your boat. I'm going to get up on the front of it, and I'm going to talk to these people. I heard a preacher preach in Charlotte, North Carolina, not too long ago. He said we could have church without God. We've got it down pat. Sing three songs, pass offering plate, make sure the preacher don't go past 12 o'clock when he gets up to preach, and make sure he don't make anybody upset. He talks nice about how good God loves him. If he don't do that, we're not having church. I won't be back. See, we have it our way. Jesus says, you must listen to me if you want it to work for you. And that's kind of what this is. See the word teach in the very first line. And he began to teach. Teach means I'm going to take a simple process and put forth a truth. Now, in that same verse down there, verse 2, see what his next word? And he taught. Those are not the same word. Teach, taught, not the same word. The first one means this is the process I'm going to use to put forth a message. And the Bible says that he used parables. There's a lot of different kinds of preaching. For instance, there's something that people call fables. Some preachers, you know what a fable is? A fable is a short story where plants and animals talk. And kids believe they're talking. Well, some adults. Well, you know what? Trees are talking. That's a fable. Then there's an allegory. Allegory is a symbolic story. Most time people try to make a parable into an allegory. An allegory is a story where you take every part of it and you dissect it and interpret it and make it mean something. You go all the way down through the story, and don't matter whether they're walking, talking, standing, sitting, laying down, don't matter. You take every part of that and you make something out of it. That's an allegory. Some preachers do things like that. They make up their own sermons out of everything. See, when you read a parable, let me say this, because then you're going to talk about a parable. When you read a parable in the Bible, it has one main point. For instance, if I read to you Luke chapter 15, if you are quick-fingered, you can turn over if you don't trust me and look. And what it says in the first part of the chapter is this: and he spake this parable, singular, and he's not parables. He spake this parable unto them. And then he told you three stories. He said, people get lost like a sheep. A man had 100 sheep and he lost one. Then he said, some people get lost like a coin. Lady had 10 coins, she lost one. And then some people get lost like a boy. Man had two boys and he lost one of them. He went out. Now, he's giving you one parable. You said, just that's three parables. I've heard preachers say that. Three parables. No, it's not three parables. It's one parable. And every story he's telling you says, this is how people get lost. It's not an allegory. You can't go through there and pick this one and pick this and pick this and try to explain different parts. No, a parable has one main point. Do you ever hear this? There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. Do you ever hear a preacher get up and say, now this parable, do you ever hear him say that? The Bible don't say it's a parable. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man. He does not talk about no parable. He's telling you a story. They knew this fellow. It's amazing how sometimes we do the Bible our own way. Now, you say, Jesse, why are you making a point of that? If you don't listen to what God says to you, he may turn his back, and if you don't hear from him, you won't know what's going on as far as God's work is concerned. Jesus said, I walk out of the synagogue if you don't listen. Listen to him. Look at him toward the end of his life. And he's standing outside upon Mount Olivet. Here's what he says. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen would her chicks, but you would not. Now listen to him. Behold, I leave your house desolate. And within 40 years, they were completely destroyed and wiped out. And for 2,000 years, they were scattered throughout the nations of the world. You say, why did that happen, Jesse? Listen to the Bible. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You say, Jesse, why do you get up there talking that Bible stuff all the time? Honey, if you don't listen to what this book says, you say, Jesse, it may not be true. If it ain't true, you're as well off as anybody else. We're just a bunch of dirt, and that'll be it. But if it is true, if it is true, there is a heaven out there, and I believe it as much as I'm standing here, there is a heaven out there, because this book says it is. And believing there is a heaven, I believe there is a hell where people die lost and go when they don't trust God. You say, Jesse, I don't believe it. Do whatever. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, you better listen to what I tell you. You better listen. And the Bible says, he taught people, and this was the form that he used to teach them. And he taught them, and the next word means that he gave them information with regard to God when he taught them. Now that's what I'll be trying to do to you today. Now I want you to notice in verse 2 he says he taught them many things in parables. This was his F-O-R-M. This was the form that he took to do parables. Some preachers preach apologetics. Some preachers preach sermons like with characters. Some of them preach what we call expository. Some preach just textual sermons. And you say, yes, I don't know one from another. You ought to get up on it. That's why you're sitting there thinking, I wonder what he's talking about. See, we got Christians that don't even know what we're doing in church. Can you imagine somebody on the football team and don't even know that they're playing a game and he's out there in the midst of it? And you say, what are you doing out here, buddy? He says, I don't know. Do we run the ball down this way or are we going that way? Y'all getting my point, ain't you? Even though I really shouldn't talk that way. It's amazing how many Christians don't really know what we're trying to do or what God's trying to do. Now Jesus is going to teach them. He taught them in parable and he said to them, verse 3, hearken. Now you put your little circle around that and say, I don't remember nothing else about Jesse's sermon, but I do remember this. He said, do the hearken. The word means this, listen and learn. Listen and learn. And Jesus is making it very important for him to do this. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Other fell on rocky ground where it had not much earth. And straightway it sprang up because it didn't have deep of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was rose up, it scorched it, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, now there was other, and when he uses the word other here, he means this was the same kind of seed. See, we only got one sermon to preach. You can't go off into all kinds of fairy tales and everything. We only got one sermon to preach. And listen to Paul talking to a young preacher named Timothy. You can quote it with me. Listen to it. Preach the word. See, that's what preach. Preach means proclaim it. Preach the word. Now Jesus said, hearken, listen up, everybody who has spiritual perception, everybody. In fact, he's going to say that when you get to verse 9. Well, let's just start with verse 9. Well, we better read verse 8 because you can see what the crop is in verse 8. Look at it. When another fell on good ground, yielded fruit, growing up and increasing, brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Verse 9 now. Now he said, he who has ears. Do you know what ears are for? Anybody, just call it out. Look down at the floor. Yeah, here. Do you know why you got two of them? Listen up! See that, he says, he that hath ears, do you say he got ears? Listen up. He that hath ears, that's your capacity. See, you can't argue. I didn't have the capacity. He said, I gave you two. You got the capacity to listen. Some people don't, and so we have figured out how to talk to them on their hands. You got the capacity to hear, you will not pass being responsible. Listen to what he said. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he's saying at least three things. You got the capacity, and you got perception. You can understand half of what I'm saying. We went to, what was that cave, Bernie?
Lost Sea.
Okay, Lost Sea. We went to Lost Sea. And this little old girl was trying to tell you what all. She said, now, ain't there a spot right here? I told Bernie, I said, just forget it. I have no idea what she's saying. I said, do you know Bernie? Bernie usually catches even whispers because she stays up with Isaac and all of them. And I said, I wanted to speak up and say, would you speak up, please? She said, standing there, you know, we had 20 of us standing here. And she said, up y'all, let's move on now. And I thought, move on? I don't, what have we looked at here? We got about halfway down there, and a young man and another young lady walked up and said, we take over from here and go on. I said to Bernie, thank the Lord. It would have been a complete waste of time as far as knowing what was going on. Hunter told me more than that girl was. You couldn't understand her. Now, here's he that hath ears means he has the capacity. Let him hear means you have an opportunity to other people. Did you know to get to come and hear me preach is an opportunity? Shake your head. You better not shake it that way. You know, get come hear me preach is an opportunity. No. Okay. That's enough, Jack. Jack was there. Now, you have an opportunity. Now, listen. I remember when I was standing in a little schoolhouse. And I was standing back against the wall because the little schoolhouse was full. Me and a boy got in a fight outside. And he ran inside to the church. Well, it wasn't church, it's schoolhouse, but they're having church. He ran inside, so I followed him in there. And I was standing leaning up against the wall. And that preacher was up preaching. That boy kind of looked around at me and I said, he just turned and looked back at the preacher. Well, I crossed my arms. I was standing there, leaned up against the wall. And that old preacher was up there preaching. All of you are sinners! Jesus died so you could be saved. And all at once, I heard him. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Oh, you could hear him a half a mile away, but I'm talking about I heard him. And I had a hard time going to sleep that night. And the next night, I was one of the first ones down the aisle and into the altar to give my heart to the Lord. Have you ever heard him speak to you? Listen to Jesus. Hearken, listen up, and if you get spiritual perception, do something about it. See, means you've got an opportunity. If God speaks to you today, I tell you, you don't know what an opportunity it is. Ain't no telling what he's going to do. He may save somebody right here today. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
I mean, that would be wonderful. He may call somebody to preach right here today. He may call somebody to step up and take their stand for him in some way right here today. Opportunity. When God speaks to you, it is an opportunity. Jesus said, it's like a fellow going out and sowing seed. Now, he mentioned the ground. Men, you're going to talk about it. And the reason he mentions the ground is this. You watch what kind of ground that he gets to sow his seed in. Watch it. Because it can make a difference in your life. So, let's drop down now to verse 15. Number one, it gets sowed by the wayside. That means they hear it, and the devil comes. You got your translation. You're looking at it there. I'm giving you Jesse Buell's translation. You're looking at it. They hear the word, and the devil comes and takes it away. when you read down through here, in case I forget it, see, this here is hard ground. I've preached in places and seen people almost make faces at me. They weren't flirting, Jane. They didn't like what I said. See, if you harden your heart, do you remember reading, you remember where Moses went down to Pharaoh? And here's what Moses said. God said for you to let his children go. He said, I am not going to do it. And so a plague came. Pharaoh jumped up and said, hey, excuse me, hey, take this plague off. Yeah, they can go. They started packing their suitcases, and he said, no, I changed my mind. You can't go because the plague left. Moses got up and said, God said for you to let his children go. No. And it went on like that. About how many plagues some of you Bible people know? How many they have?
Ten.
Okay. 10 plagues. 10 times like that. Now, here's what the Bible says about Pharaoh. God hardened his heart. And what it means is this. God turned away and said, I won't talk to you anymore. I will not talk to you. Your heart is hardened, and I will not talk to you anymore. Now, when God's word is spoken, when it's spoken, it has great power. See, the Bible will say things like this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he did it by his word. See, when God speaks, now when God don't speak, it could be bad trouble. And old Pharaoh died out there choking in the Red Sea. And most all of his people, everything with him. All of them lost their firstborn kid and everything. You say, why'd that happen, Jesse? All he had to do was listen to God. God said, let my people go. And he said, no. And he hardened his heart against what God was saying. And he wound up destroyed. Now Jesus said, some people will sit with a hard heart. And the devil will quickly get that word and take it away if you harden your heart. He'll quickly take it away. That's what the first one is. You say, Jesse, I'm not in that category. The next one, he said here, there's rocky places there. Rocky places has in it, you ain't got enough good in you to fool with you, hardly. Do you ever see a, when we was over in Israel, I don't know how they raised stuff, but they did. They had stuff growing there. They had bananas growing, oranges growing. They had cabbage growing. I mean, stuff growing. Anywhere they could spot a piece of water, and Israel already figured out how to spray water on most everything over. If they could spot a piece of water somewhere, stuff would start growing. I couldn't believe it, but I was looking at it with my eyes. Now, the other thing that I could not believe, that's the rockiest place I've seen. Well, you have to have a lot of rocks to beat Jefferson County, but anyway, it was a rocky, real rocky, rocks everywhere. And evidently they were getting their fertilizer from the rocks, to whatever comes from rocks that'll help fertilize. Now listen to Jesus. If you get too many rocks in your life, word can't grow. I hope you can hear what he's saying. See, because the first one, he said, the devil's just waiting for you to harden your heart, and he'll fix it so that you won't hear nothing Jesus said. then the devil's just waiting for you to come up with other stuff piled into your life. And he'll just say, that is wonderful. Keep your mind on this. Don't listen to that preacher. He's crazy. Now, one of them is against Jesus, and one of them is against the flesh. And then the next one, he said, they get caught up in the cares of this world. You see that? That's the next soil. Cares of this world means sorrow, worry, money, sickness, so forth. You get so caught up in that that you forget about Jesus. I don't have a lot of wild stories to tell. But I remember, I've had a lot of people say to me, Jesse, why in the world did you start preaching? Anybody that's got as much mouth as you are ought to be a salesman, because you could be a millionaire the way you can talk to people. They said, you're crazy. Go out there and fool with them church people. They won't even feed their kids hardly, let alone give you something. Well, they were right in that. See, I'm looking at people here that unscrew their hips to sit down and eat. That's a tight. It is tight, but it's not going to give you nothing. My wife said to me, honey, you know they're going to come and take so-and-so, whatever, if we don't have that $878 next week. They will come and take it. I said, I don't know. I don't know what to do. You said, Jesse, I know you're going to tell us a big yarn. Okay, that week, I got a check in the mail from Illinois for $1,000. I didn't even know who it was, but it was just, they signed it and everything. But they said, we were so glad to have you here in our revival. And we've been thinking about you and everything. Don't know whether you need this or not, but we just felt impressed to send you this check. You believe in that stuff? You say, Jesse, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to trust him. I'm going to work myself to death. I'll take care of myself. Okay. So go ahead and sweat it. Worry. So forth. Just sweat it out. Jesus said, don't let hardness keep you from hearing God's word. Don't let rocks keep you from hearing God's word. Don't let the cares of this world get you in a position where that you don't hear God's word. Be sure to listen to God's word. See, that's what he's saying here in these verses. Don't let this stuff get to you and you not be able to hear God's word. I got a little sermon somewhere. Y'all want to hear it? Here's my little sermon. Ready? Here we go. It said there were some 30-fold Christians. You remember us reading that? And 60-fold, remember? Come out of this hearing business. And 100-fold. Good ground. Everything good shape. I met maybe 5 people in my life that I thought had good ground. Grandma Kivett laid in the bed 7 years, and every time you'd go to see her, she'd say, the Lord is so good, Brother Jesse. He is so wonderful, Brother Jesse. I wanted to say to her, Grandma, don't tell me how good the Lord is. Look at you laying there. You've been laying there all these years. Don't tell me how good the Lord is. But I didn't. She found out how good the Lord was. You say, you can't be sick and the Lord be good. Oh, yes, you can. Anytime you got the Lord on your side, it's good. I don't care where you are. See, Paul sitting in prison, and he'd been sitting there for a long time, and here's what he wrote in one of his letters. Rejoice. And again I say to you, rejoice. Rejoice always. Never cease. I said, God, you're sitting there, man. They figured cut your head off. And he said, rejoice. Rejoice. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. I say to you, rejoice. You said, yes, I can't do it. Get the right kind of soil, and the word will work for you. See, he can really bring a crop in if you got the right kind of ground for it to be planted in. Don't harden your heart. Don't get cares all piled in on you. Don't have the rocks so they can't grow. So don't get that way. Stay where you can have God's word planted in your life and be able to hear what he's having to say to you and start about doing what he says. So, 30-fold. 30-fold Christians are people who believe. And they have to be spoon-fed. When I was growing up, kids nursed a lot longer than they do now. You said, Jesse, well, that's the only thing I can think of is to give you this illustration. I remember some people out of the community come to visit us and had a 3-year-old boy. And people, if they nursed babies back then, they just nursed them. I mean, you know, now we try to hide them, throw blankets over our heads and everything else, you know, to nurse a baby. Back then, they just flopped out. But I never forget it because us kids, there were 6 of us kids, but I never forget it because had this 3-year-old boy, and he run in and run up to his mother and started nursing. All of us kids. Did you ever see a Christian act that way? You mean you're still nursing? It's amazing. Jesus said, if you're still nursing, he picked up on my part of the sermon now. If you're still nursing, you probably never will have a crop over 30%. You can't do much of a crop. He says it like this. Paul says it like this sometimes. You have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Hey, Bella, come up here and let me preach a sermon, will you? Okay, let's see. You getting some. Hunter, come up here. Can you get up? You can't get up either. Come on, Andrew. Help me preach something. See, we got babies. They can't get up. Andrew, lift my pulpit up. Just lift it up and set it back down. That's good. That's good. Now, he has a form. He has 2 eyes, 2 ears, mouth, nose, 2 hands, good hands. Hold it. See, just like any human being. Just like any human being. Now if I say to him, Andrew, pick this pew up right here, he would probably say, well, now I may have the form. I may look like a human being, got 2 hands and all this stuff, and I've got all the form, but I don't believe I have the power. Lift that up. You getting the point? See, there are Christians who look exactly like Christians. They even dress up. Thank you, Andy. You're a good preacher. They almost look good as I do when they come to church. They just got their hair parted. I mean, everything. You can stand up and say, sing Amazing Grace. Yes, sir, I can do that. We're going to have an offering. I got a quarter. I can get in on that. Bow your head. We're going to pray. I know how to do that. I may kind of pick at my pockets or something while but I know how to do that. I got this religion stuff down pat. But they're children. See, when you got to do, see, I say to them, something, where am I about? I say, Frank, take this Bible, go down on Eagle Bird Road. Go to the 3rd house on the right after you leave I-State, it's 41, whatever. Go to the third house on the right. Take this Bible and open it up and show that old man sitting there how to be saved. He says, what? I can't do that. I'm scared. I can't lift that pew. I can lift this little thing. I can come to church and sit there for an hour. It kind of bothers me, but I can do that. But if you ask me to go out and try to help get somebody saved outside church, maybe you got me out of the way there. See, it's amazing how many 30% Christians we got. They can do the 30%. Now, Jesus said, according to the soil is the way the crop will come up. See? And even in good soil, some of them only come in with 30%. Now he said there's a 60% bunch. You say, who are those, Jesse? They are those who carry a Bible with them, church. They even stay awake during the sermon. See? And you can ask them, can you quote a verse? And they say, oh, yeah, I can quote three. I've got it. Would you sing a solo? Where'd she go? Yeah, here she is. I'm tickled dead. That's moving up. See, it's moving up. Deb got up. I got down on the seat praying. Deb, I said, Deb singing a song. Lord, help her. God, help her. Help her, Lord. She knows how much I love her. Reading, I can kid her. You say, what's going on, Jesse? Somebody moving up. Moving up. 81-year-old man come in church yesterday. Said, I'm going to drive a church bus. What? Yeah, I'm going to drive a church bus. Did you know they picked up 7 brand new kids who'd never been to the kids' ministry yesterday? Oh, see, some can bring that 60% stuff in. Jesus said, there are people who can bring in 30% of a crop, 60% of a crop. You say, the Lord won't give us no chance. He won't give us no chance. I was trying to see, who cooked yesterday? Linda, you cooked it. Stand up and sit back down, Linda. Linda. Sit back there. Thank you. Who was with you? Berlene? Berlene, where are you? Well, you don't have to stand up, Berlene. We know you. No, here's my point now. These girls down there cooking, getting french fries and hot dogs and stuff for them kids. No boy walked in the door and he said, me and my kids haven't eaten this morning. I said, just follow, Frank said, just follow me. We'll take you right down here and feed you. Them two girls, Linda and Berlene, said, we got it waiting for you. Do y'all know what I'm saying to you? Do you know what I'm saying to you? See, right there, waiting for him. Now, if it had been any other day, we wouldn't have had it. But God said, I'm going to honor them two cooks. I'm going to send them somebody that needs what they got. Even though these other kids need it, I'm going to send them somebody that needs what they got. And listen to Jesus. The least you do it unto one of my little ones, you do it unto me. You say, Jesse, I don't believe that stuff. Believe what you want. I'm telling you what the book says. Then there are people who bring forth 100-fold. I know very few of them. Very few. J. Harold Smith lived at Newport. Well, he lived in Arkansas most all of his life. J. Harold Smith lived in Newport. And it said, and I don't know whether he can prove it or not. It doesn't matter. Me, really. He come preach a revival for me one time. And the reason I always loved J. Harold Smith, he preached for years and years. He tried to give me some of his sermons. I said, J. Harold, I can't preach. He said, Jesse, I got a sermon here you could really preach. And I said, what is it, J. Harold? He said, the second coming of the devil. I said, that sounds like Diane trying to get a sermon out. But the reason I love J. Harold so much, my boy, David, was in Bible school and having revival at night, Bible school in the morning. J. Harold come preach at the Bible school in the morning since he was there in the revival. And I was standing down front with him when he gave the invitation. Dave was 9 years old. And when J. Harold stood up to give the invitation, Dave stepped out. Come down and trust Jesus. I always remember what I said to him. I said, do you know why you're coming, son? He said, Dad, you know I wouldn't come if I didn't know why I was coming. I said, that's good enough for me. And so we went to the altar. Jesus said, there were some who bring forth 100-fold. And J. Harold Smith had the reputation of winning 20 people to Jesus every day from the time he started preaching till he died. Either through his books, through the radio ministry, through his own personal revivals, etc., etc. That must have been something when he got to heaven. Made me think about it. I'm going to tell this and we'll quit. No need me preaching to you all day. Y'all didn't put that much in the offering plate. I don't know whether y'all ever heard of Corrie ten Boom or not, but back in World War II, her and her sisters and them put in concentration camps and so forth, the Germans. Most time the soldiers would just rape them or beat them up or kill them or just nobody could stop them from doing anything they want to do. Corrie, her and her sister would pray every day. The Lord would be with them, help them, and do it. And so they got covered up with lice. Y'all know what lice is, don't you? Got covered up with body lice, and the soldiers wouldn't bother them. She said the Lord covered them up with lice, keep the soldiers off of them. I was up in Washington, went to a little prayer breakfast, and President and all the senators and all this bunch of people sitting there. I was sitting there with Ralph Duncan. This little old woman come out. Had a little old calico dress on. She sat down in the chair. In a few minutes, whoever was running the show there got up and said, our special speaker today is Corrie ten Boom. I couldn't believe it. I'd read all about her. I couldn't believe it. She was there. And she walked up. The president, I mean all the big people there, but Corrie ten Boom walked there, had a little calico dress on, walked up and took hold of the pulpit. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, me and Jesus was having breakfast this morning. And she said, I told him, Lord, I got to go down there and talk to that president's prayer breakfast today. What do you want me to say? And she said, Jesus said to me, just tell them anything about me that you want to, Corrie. You should have seen the tears coming out of the president and senators and everybody. At last, they were looking at a A1, 100-fold Christian. There ain't many of them around. And they sure do tear up Jack when they start moving. If somebody got sick in this church, would they think about you to call you because they say, I know he or she can really get a hold of the Lord? Would they think about you? If somebody needed prayer in some way, would they say, get on the phone and call so-and-so because I know they can get a hold of the Lord? What kind of Christian you want to be? 30, 60, 100. Get the right soil and listen to Jesus when he plants. See, he plants the word in your heart, and when he plants it, it'll grow and come up. But you got to have the right kind of heart. Jesus says, everybody who has spiritual perception, listen up and take heed to what I say. So I hope today, as he speaks to your heart, you will listen to him. One more story. Y'all want one more story? It just comes from my mind. When it comes to my mind, I think, I don't want, no. And I think, well, okay, Lord, that's what you want. Ross Terry. Frank knows Ralph Ross Terry. Me and him, Frank and all of us, we worked and growed up together in Indiana. Ross Terry came into my office one day. He had a real good job at General Motors. His wife was an executive secretary also. They were pretty well ahead of most of us as far as making a living. But they never missed church, never missed nothing. They go visiting, they go whatever. Ross came in my office one day. He said, Brother Jesse, I need to talk to you. I said, all right. I said, what's it all about, Ross? He said, Brother Jesse said, why would the Lord want me to preach? I said, hey, hold on now, buddy. I said, I talk to people about getting saved and stuff like that, but I said, you're way out of my, I don't have nothing to do with that. That's somebody's running that show besides me. He's Brother Jesse, I give a tithe of everything I make and even make offerings sometimes. And he said, I come to church regularly. I study my Bible. I go work in the mission work. You got some mission work to do. He said, me and the wife, we're trying our very best to be the kind of Christian we want to do. He said, why would he want me to preach? I said, what's disturbing you, Ross? And he says, well, I'd have to quit my job. So I'd have to leave my house, my car. Don't have them all paid for yet. My wife would have quit her job because I'd have to go and make some kind of preparation in studying the Bible to preach. I said, I can't help you, Ross. I'm sorry. When you'll have prayer, I can't help you. 2 weeks later, he come by a little old Volkswagen, one VW. He'd sold everything. That's all he had left. Had a little trailer behind it with what he had left belongings. He stopped by my house, and he got out and come in. Because I told him, I said, we'll have a cup of coffee. So he took off to school. After he got out of school, making it short, I went and preached a revival for him. We went back from the revival that night and was sitting at his kitchen table. I said, Ross, do you ever regret giving that job up? Sitting back here in Lynch, Kentucky, back there in the mountains, where there ain't nothing but heathens, and moonshiners. And I said, you ever regret that? He started crying. He said, for a while I thought so, Brother Jesse. He said, but now when I stand up there to preach, and he said, some old boy steps out the aisle, and he comes down and he says, I'm coming to trust Jesus as my Savior. He says, when that happens, Brother Jesse, it sure does seem like it's worth it to me. You want to be a 30-fold Christian, 60-fold, or 100-fold? Get your soil right. Let him plant seed. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. Let him plant seed. He'll tell you what to do and bring in the crop he wants you to bring in. Can you imagine? I don't know where he did you or not. Can you imagine how he blessed me when she was singing that song today? Can you imagine that? You said, yes, I can't bless nobody. Yeah, when you do what Jesus says, you can bless people, buddy. You can bless them. Bow your head with me. I'll keep on going all day if you don't. Bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. Heavenly Father, if we know our hearts, we do love you, Lord. I know sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but we do love you, Lord. And I pray that today you would speak to our hearts about what your will is for our life. Help us to hear, Lord, and obey so that you can bring in the crop that you want to bring in into your kingdom. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
307.
Find your book. And stand there and sing with us. 307. You come if you need to come. Thy blood washed for me, and that thou bidst me come.